Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Circle of Respect Book Club. I'm joined today by Ellen Weisberg and Ken Yaffe, authors of Fruit of the Vine. I want to first take a chance to thank both of you for speaking to us today about your book.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Robin.
All right. So just I wanted to jump in, just reading, and some of our readers might have had a chance to look over your biographies. I wanted to ask the two of you both, what inspired you to begin writing, particularly about bullying and other friendship issues? Perhaps, Ellen, you can start us off, and then, Ken, you can let us know and follow up with what inspired you as well.
Okay. Sure. Yep, that sounds good. Well, obviously, there's an epidemic of bullying that's going on, and it's unfortunately reached the point, you know, where there are reports of children that are actually taking their lives, this bullicide, you know, thing, and it's making national headlines. So the interesting thing is the story was written and published a few years ago in a literary journal. That was before all the bullying stuff really started becoming a major, major national disaster, you know. But then, you know, we expanded it. We developed it into a book with the help of a mental health niche publisher from the UK called Chipmunka Publishing. And just coincidentally, you know, it appears that the expansion and development, you know, kind of coincided with the time when, you know, there's a great demand for anti-bullying books by schools. So we actually, just between yesterday and today, we finished donating 4,000 copies of this book to schools and libraries across the U.S. and Canada and parent centers. One in Michigan took 1,000 copies, you know, for all of Upper Michigan and the peninsula, and another one took 400 copies. This was down in Alabama, just to give out to parents. But the other thing is, I mean, while bullying has, you know, obviously reached unusual heights, you know, recently, and we're figuring it's probably fueled by the anonymity and also, you know, wide-reaching exposure to the internet. You know, bullying's been around for a really long time, and I personally had a really shy, awkward phase when I was about 14, and my ninth grade year was just a complete nightmare. I was like a quarter of a point or two-thirds of a point was in the highest average in the ninth grade. I was a total bookworm. I'd spend my lunch periods studying and not eating. I had like one close friend, and that was it. And I remember that, you know, a good day for my entire year, you know, was one day that didn't involve being picked on for being really shy and, you know, just very bookwormish. So yeah, it's safe to say, you know, my personal experience definitely helped me shape the character of Justin and write it in a way that I was hoping would be realistic enough for children as well as parents to empathize with. You know, kid goes through a lot of trials and tribulations, and you know, it brought back some kind of painful memories for myself. It was just that year. Before that year, everything was fine. After that year, everything was okay. But that year really had an impact on me. You know?
I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because that's actually one of the things that I like the most about Justin, is that he is a character that is easily related to and somebody that we can all kind of identify, as you said, a period in our lives when we felt this way or we were going through a similar thing. So I think it's really useful for kids to have somebody that they can look to for that.
Yeah, it's also that why me thing, you know, like at one point in the story, he's thinking about, well, this girl, she has buck teeth and they're yellow and she has a pet frog and there's this other guy with this huge forehead, you know, and he's
right.
This unibrow. What about me? So I'm skinny and have a big nose, big deal, you know. You wonder, it's like, what is it about me? And that can make you, that can add to the isolation and, you know, really lower your feelings of self-worth. You just feel like the spotlight is so on you and, oh, my God, you must be some kind of a freak.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was, I'm not saying it was autobiographical, but definitely inspired by my own trials and tribulations I had as a kid growing up for that one period of time.
Absolutely. And Ken, what about you? What would you say was something that inspired you to begin working on this book and talking about bullying and other issues?
Well, we're children's book writers. We were children's book writers, but actually before this particular story came out, we both belong to a writer's group in Nashua, New Hampshire, where we live. And the writer's group is sort of a subset of something called Squibby, the Society for Children's Book Writers. And we have done, oh, I don't know, Ellen, what, three or is it four now, geography books?
Four
geography books, nonfiction, you know, for kids with cartoons and with poems, and we've been pretty happy about the success of those. One's on the United States, and there's a couple others on different parts of the world. And Ellen actually woke up having had sort of one of those either half dreams or dreams where she sort of dreamed a little bit of the fantasy aspect of this story, where some of the things that happened to Justin, she kind of immediately was able to get out, you know, either tell me or write down on a piece of paper, so we had it. And we had that down as a fantasy story, and it was after that that we kind of both worked on it and kind of pushed toward the bully angle. And really, the one thing that got changed over time as we tried to let the story evolve was Justin's response to what happens to Urvino, and how you had just sort of implied this a couple seconds ago, Robin, when you were saying, when you were talking with Ellen and she was giving an example of the why me aspect that some of these kids probably go through, or all of these kids probably go through. And it's at that moment, I think, that some of them do get tempted, understandably tempted, to become part of the bullier instead of the bullyee, because they can take that attention off them. And you're right, this other girl does have buck teeth, and she has a pet frog, and, or whatever Justin was saying. And that at moments like that, he's got to be a little bit tempted to kind of to join the other side, as it were. I was also pretty introverted and shy, although I can't really say I was bullied per se, but I can certainly picture his sort of point of view on that. Now I'm actually a pediatrician, so I do see a lot of kids who are either bullied or they're certainly fighting mood disorders, which, gosh, it really sure does seem like it's on the rise. I can't say it's necessarily because of bullying, but on the rise are just kids who have a lot of emotional problems. So all that sort of contributed to this story in particular, and you know, in general writing, I'd say.
That's actually really great, because then one of the things that you kind of alluded to this, Ken, was, you know, even though that some of us aren't bullied ourselves, witnessing it is just as damaging in some cases. Sometimes that's just as traumatizing, or just to be around that environment where other kids are teasing another kid, even if it's not you, it's a really awkward place to be, because you almost feel like you have to choose a side, and either, you know, if you choose a side with the victim, a lot of kids are sometimes scared that then, oh, well, then they'll start be paying attention to me as well.
The easiest thing to say at that point is, thank God it's not me. At the very least, I'm going to kind of creep away from the situation, or at the most, I'm going to certainly not join the side of the weaker side here. You know, it's sort of a short-term gain, although, we would argue, obviously, that it's a long-term loss for you.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You kind of touched on this just a little bit. I wonder if you can talk a little bit more. Why was it important for you guys to emphasize that Justin, despite being bullied and despite his why me attitude and despite how, you know, it might have been easy for him to then take his anger out on someone else, why was it important for you guys to choose that he did not do that in this book, even when he had the opportunity to where he saw that, you know, someone else was experiencing bullying as well? I mean, he could have, you know, sort of taken that out. He could have went one way with it, but you guys chose that, you know, he showed kindness. Is that something that was planned, or is that just how the story happened?
Is it okay if I answer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the emphasis that we put on a child being both altruistic as well as empathetic toward their peers, that was kind of in light of some other happenings that made major headlines, like Columbine and the Virginia Tech shootings, you know, countless other happenings that, you know, after there was some investigation into why they happened, they appear to stem from, you know, a child's extreme behavior that might have resulted from a feeling of isolation and anger from being bullied. And so our story, I mean, it's meant to be an enjoyable story, but it's also meant to give hope to kids that are being bullied. It's meant to give perspective to any kid who is a bully, and also insight to children who aren't either a bully or are being bullied. The main point that we wanted to make with the story is that other people have problems too, and your true friends are the ones that stick with you through thick and thin, not just when things are going well. So like Urvino, the character of Vino, he could have bonded with the other creatures once he was accepted by them. But these were the same creatures that didn't accept him when he was being perceived as being different from them. And Urvino was aware that these creatures were not his true friends. At the same time, he was aware that Justin went out of his way to spend his wishes on Urvino instead of using them for himself. And that was all because Justin didn't want to see Urvino suffer the same way he had been suffering in his own world. So Urvino appreciated Justin's selflessness and caring, and he really considered Justin, and not the creatures, to be his one true friend. And that's a major point that we're trying to carry across, you know, in the story.
Sort of piggybacking on that, and Ken, maybe you can touch on this a little bit also. Ellen, I know you had mentioned previously that you guys have distributed this book as well as to parent groups. Can you discuss the importance of maybe parents sharing this book with kids and how you see this benefiting them as well? Because I know it is written for children, but often some of the resources that are there for children are very helpful for parents in starting the conversation. So, Ken, can you talk a little bit about what are some important lessons or insights that parents can take away from this book, and how can they maybe use this to share with their kids?
You know, it's funny. We have a daughter who's five, just turned five. Her name's Emily, and she likes to watch shows that are not necessarily for her per se. And we were watching, the family together was watching Everybody Loves Raymond last night, as a matter of fact. And it's an episode where I don't know if you know the show, but there's a daughter they have who happens to be getting bullied on the bus, or so they thought. It turns out actually she's the bully. And it's a comedy show, obviously, but it shows this one scene where the parents are both struggling to try to tell her how to not be a bully, but they don't want to say she's a bad kid, and this is just a really funny scene where they're struggling to tell their daughter, who's a good kid overall, but the reason why she wanted to bully this other kid is because she was getting teased, and she was going to get teased even more in this particular situation because her dad went on the bus to see her to see if she would be bullying this other child, and she said, well, now I'm going to tease this kid even more. And in the end, it worked out, and they convinced her not to do it. But it's just funny that this came up last night we were watching this show. We both think, and this goes back to when we were doing the geography books even, we both think that a good children's book is a good parent's book for many, many reasons. But in this particular case, I think that you obviously want parents to be able to explain things to the child if there's something that comes up that they have questions about and they don't understand. But conversely, kind of thinking about it the opposite way, is that I think that secretly or not secretly, parents do want to hear about this stuff and find out about this stuff. And this is a good way to have them be able to say, well, I'm going to get this book for my child, and then I also can enjoy the story, hopefully, for one, and then for number two, maybe learn something myself, either about geography in the case of our other books, but more importantly for this book, how do you sort of approach your child about this, and why would Justin, for example, turn his anger toward the bullies instead of turning his sort of disdain towards Urvino? And having that as a message instead. So I think for a few reasons, it is good to have a book like this that does point its way towards a parent and a parent's concerns and how they can sort of get involved, especially in light of, you know, like Ellen was saying, in light of this sort of increasing awareness of bullying. But I know Ellen had a couple other things she wanted to mention about that also.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's only if I can.
No, please do.
Sure. Just the whole idea, because some of the librarians and teachers that I've been emailing back and forth with, they brought this up as a concern, the fact that, you know, the parents' behavior might influence the children and the way the children behave when they're at school. So if a child witnesses a parent either bullying the parents fighting with each other, or if the child, him or herself, is being bullied, you know, it's gonna have an impact. So, you know, I guess it's important for us, you know, the parents, you know, try to keep this in mind, maybe try to practice some patience. God knows Ken and I, you know, are always being challenged by raising a 5-year-old, and it's easy to lose your patience, but it's just important for parents to express love and warmth, you know, as often as they can, as they're able to, because children are really impressionable, and we just feel it's really important to try to impress positive behaviors upon them while they're growing up. We're also hoping, you know, Scholastic has been considering licensing the rights to market one or more of our books. They're really interested in our U.S. geography book. We gave them Fruit of the Vine to consider, they said that they did read it. They liked the story. This is actually Scholastic Book Clubs, but they turned it down because they said that they make books directed, their books are directed, directed at children specifically. They felt that Fruit of the Vine was the type of book that they could easily picture a parent reading to a child. So obviously something about the writing and the way it's structured makes at least some people think, I wrote it in kind of a somewhat sophisticated manner, that it's the type of book that, you know, parents will sit there and actually read to their children. We're hoping that some parents, as they're reading the book, they might be able to also, you know, relate to the main character, Justin's plight. Maybe they'd be inspired to openly and outwardly discuss experiences that they had when they were children, you know, with a child, you know, that might be bullied. This might make their child not feel so alone or singled out if they know that, his parents went through the same thing. Parents might be able to offer suggestions for the child in terms of dealing with the bullying that would draw from their own experiences. Or parents, like Ken was saying, you know, he remembers other kids being bullied. They might be inspired to discuss their memories of that and how they felt about it. And, you know, we figure like maybe this kind of dialogue could translate into a stronger bond between the parent and the child. It might help strengthen the child's sense of self-worth and also strengthen their determination to get through a really tough time. You know, that's kind of what we're hoping that. That's why I think the parent centers so far have been our biggest takers, because I think they see this as the type of book that the parent and child can sit down with, and the parent can read to the child, and the child can ask questions, you know, and the parent can answer the questions. And so.
And for those parents that may be listening and haven't read the book, I really do encourage you to pick it up. It really does lend itself to being read out loud and sort of being interactive with the children. That the tone of the book is really engaging, I think, for young children as well as for parents. It's a fun book to read, and definitely a fun book to read to somebody. So I think it just really lends itself well to that. So I encourage parents to pick this up. Also, as you said, Ellen and Ken, it certainly is a conversation starter, and sort of stopping bullying, it really does start with a conversation and talking about it and how it makes us feel.
Before
we close out, I just wanted to for anyone interested in learning more about some of the future plans that you guys have for this book or some of your other works, what's next for you guys as after all of this?
We just got done clearing out our garage of 4,000 copies. We're down to less than 50. I mean, it's been, that was more exhausting than I thought it would be, but it was so nice to hear from, you know, teachers and some homeschoolers, librarians, you know, as soon as they heard that the book was on bullying, you know, it just was nice to know that we were filling some kind of gap, because there are teachers that are out there, they're just actively seeking books about bullying because it's become such a problem. So we're done with that. The next thing we're planning to do really is just, try to contact grades 3 through 6 teachers and make them aware of our geography books. We're actually providing them as free ebook downloads, the ones that were published through Chitmunka Publishing. This is a courtesy, and Chitmunka Publishing, we have kind of a special relationship with our publisher. They're in the UK, and anything that we do here doesn't really compete with any kind of marketing that they're trying to do. And they just like the idea of us, you know, widely distributing our books and making people aware of us as authors and them as a publisher, and, you know, people being able to use these books, and again, as a courtesy. So that's actually the next big kind of thing I'm planning to do, and it's all through our website, and you can download the books and then do whatever you want to with them. The only one that we can't give away for free is Friends and Mates in 50 States, and that's because it's through a different publisher. But even that, it's being sold as an ebook online through a homeschooling website for like 50 cents. I mean, we're trying to make our books as accessible as possible, because we take a lot of pride in what we've done. We put a lot of work into it, and it's more important to us right now just to try to help schools and libraries, anybody that's really suffering from major budget constraints. I mean, the economy certainly has not helped anybody, you know, and there are a lot of libraries that were saying that because of budget constraints, they couldn't afford to bring in any new materials. And it just makes us feel good to be able to help them, you know. As far as any new projects go, We're thinking about doing something based on like our family tree. My grandfather was an interesting character, and he associated with people like from Murder Incorporated from like back in the Depression era, you know, and there were just fascinating stories that I'd heard about him growing up, and they're all being validated by my father and my uncle and a cousin of mine. And yeah, so we were thinking about just doing something like that as kind of a next short-term project. That would incorporate a lot of history, you know, from that time. Otherwise, I don't know. We don't really have any like long-term goals as far as more book projects go.
Well, for the current one, certainly I'm so happy that you guys have shared it with NCPC and the Circle of Respect. I think that, you know, for anyone out there, I hope that I encourage you to follow your work, and I hope that you'll continue to keep us all updated on the new resources that you produce, because I really think that's very useful, as you said, for just a number of audiences, not just elementary school kids, but their parents as well.
Thanks. Yes, we've actually gotten a lot of requests also from high schools for special needs students and the middle school. So, yeah, it's been making its rounds in surprising ways. But, again, if it just goes to where it's most needed, that'll make us the most happy. That's how we feel.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ellen and Ken, for participating in our book club. We really appreciate it so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I do want to encourage everyone, if you have not picked up the book, please, please do. And you can find more information about that at circleofrespect.org. Again, that's www.circleofrespect.org. Thanks again, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.